Welcome back in, everybody. Another edition here of the Auburn Undercover Podcast on the 24/7 Sports Network. My name is Nathan King, coming in with a quick reaction show here on Wednesday afternoon, evening, as Auburn basketball's biggest domino of the offseason has now fallen. Jahni Broome, Auburn's All-American center, All-SEC, All-SEC tournament team, SEC tournament MVP, easily the best player on last year's team, one of the best big men in program history. We'll be back next season, he announced on social media this evening that Four is running it back. It'll be his third year, of course, with the Auburn program. He was, like I mentioned, an All-American this past season, and this was a decision that Auburn has been waiting on since the season ended. It's one that Bruce Pearl, of course, wanted to know pretty quickly. Obviously, wasn't going to put a bunch of pressure on Jahni, but at the end of the day, this was something that Auburn needed to sort of know as they went ahead and planned their offseason, planned what they needed to do with this roster. And now you get, not only is Jahni Broome coming back, but of course last week Dylan Cardwell also announces that he will be back next season. You sort of knew this was, you didn't know it was coming, but you got a pretty good indication that this would be the case when Auburn was targeting various players in the transfer portal, guys that made sense. Obviously they bring in JP Begeese, the Furman transfer point guard, targeting other guards in the portal, targeting power forwards in the portal to help replace Jalen Williams. But they didn't really go after any five men. They didn't go after any centers. Auburn's interest in those guys wasn't really on display here in the early stages of the offseason. That made you feel pretty good about their chances of getting Jahni Broome back. Of course, the NIL element was important here. Bruce Pearl said that after the season ended, that, you know, for Jahni Broome, it was going to be about evaluating him and his family, the differences between what Auburn could offer with NIL versus what his NBA opportunities could be. And look, this was not an easy decision. And this was not a guy that had no professional prospects. Remember last year in the NBA draft process, it was massive for Jahni Broome. He had a really, really big NBA combine and NBA draft process to where his parents told us last year that he was very close to getting drafted late in the second round. There were several teams with late second round picks that wanted him to come work out. He decided that it would be in his best interest to come back to Auburn. And of course, that ended up being the case because he was absolutely phenomenal this last season. He was an All-American. Like I said, he ended up being the only player in the SEC that was top three in the league in field goal percentage, in rebounding, and in blocks. He finished the season number three in the entire country in overall player efficiency, just offense, defense, overall efficiency for his team. Number three in all of college basketball. The only guys ahead of him were the two big men who went head-to-head in the national championship game, Donovan Clingan from UConn and Zach Edey from Purdue. And so this just sort of simplifies Auburn's roster management and their lookout for next season. I think they would have had a really good pitch. We've talked about it on this show before. They would have had a great pitch to centers in the transfer portal because Jahni Broome was an All-American. Before him, Walker Kessler was an All-American who came and transferred into the program. And so your pitch to any center in the transfer portal, Auburn would have had, I think, a pretty good shot with any number of the top big men in the portal. But you really wanted Jahni back because of how well he understands your system. Auburn changed up their offense a little bit this season to run more five-out action. And, of course, a big proponent for that was Jahni Broome's improved three-point shooting. He improved pretty much across the board. I know he was a good player, of course, in his first year with Auburn, second-team All-SEC, but taking that next step forward, improved his free-throw shooting, improved his three-point shooting, became a great defender. He was already a really high-level defender, a guy who could defend out to the perimeter on smaller players as well, one of the best shot blockers in college basketball, and overall just one of the most efficient offensive players in the country. There is a reason why, you know, KenPom, all these advanced analytics stats, there's a reason why for most of the season he was the most efficient player in college basketball, only to be outdone by Zach Edey from Purdue. Sometimes, like I mentioned, Donovan Clingan from UConn, is just because of what he provided. He basically would roll out of bed and get 15-9 for Auburn every single game. And then from there, it was about what more could he do. And so just, you know, there's no way to understate how big this news is for Auburn basketball moving into the offseason. Again, it simplifies things, it streamlines things, and it gives you a player who, you know, if we want to look way ahead, does this solidify Auburn as a top 10 preseason team? With Jahni Broome back in the fold, Denver Jones is obviously expected to be back. Shad Baker-Mazar already confirmed he'll be back. That is three of your top four scorers coming back next season. Obviously, Jalen Williams is the only exception there. Jahni was fantastic. Denver and Shad played some of their best basketball down the stretch of the season. You also brought in a transfer point guard in JP Pegues last week, sort of doing a reset there at that point guard spot. Obviously, Aiden Holloway and Trey Donaldson exited via the transfer portal. Katie Johnson also transferred out. So it'll be a bit of a shakeup in that backcourt. I think that is going to, because of how consistent things are going to be elsewhere for Auburn with that wing scoring, with Denver Jones, with, I think Chris Moore has a really good chance of being back with this team. Dylan Cardwell's back as well. So the depth perspective and now Jani Broome, all of that will be really consistent. So what is going to be the difference? It's going to be guard play. And Bruce Pearl said it down the stretch this season that they just needed better guard play. It's not what lost them that game against Yale in the NCAA tournament, but it is what held them back at times. So you're hoping if you're Auburn, bringing in a senior floor general in JP Pegues is going to offset some of those issues. And then we haven't even mentioned Tahad Pettiford, a five-star, the number one point guard recruit in the entire country. Bruce Pearl has been adamant, hey, he's not a true point guard. We're not just going to pigeonhole him at point guard. I think now you have the opportunity for him to play more point because both your point guards from last season are gone. I think you have the opportunity for him to play, you know, 10-ish minutes a game behind JP Pegues at point guard and then let him flourish off the ball too, if that's what he wants to do behind Denver Jones at that two-guard spot. But really, the Jani Broome decision was just what Auburn was waiting on and what makes this roster management for them so much more feasible, so much more moldable here in the offseason. You can go a lot of different ways because you have your anchor, you have your best player back. You can choose to do a lot of different things. Let's take a look at the scholarship distribution right now. Hopefully this ends up working pretty well. So can I get this a little better? There we go. So this is just what I have at the moment. Obviously 13 scholarship spots available. This goes in position order here. Not sure if AD Scott, the JUCO transfer from last year, I'm pretty sure he will be on scholarship still. He was a scholarship player last year as well, but he obviously ran scout team. Like I said, I would expect at the moment, we've got no such official announcement, but Chris Moore does have that fifth year, that COVID year of eligibility he could exercise. I think he will be back next season. So right now, your scholarship players, you've got 10 of them: JP Pegues, Tahad Pettiford, Denver Jones, Baker Mazzara, Chris Moore, Jakai Howard, we haven't even mentioned. He was a four-star top 100 player who's going to be playing that three spot for them. We'll be interested to see what kind of role he has. Chaney Johnson played really well down the stretch. And then your front court, that center spot, Jani Broome, Dylan Cardwell, and AD Scott. There's three vacant spots on the roster still. I don't expect them to fill all of them. I think Bruce has only filled every single scholarship spot like once in his time at Auburn. I would expect them to probably fill two of them, though. You're still looking for a guard. Like I said, you have that flexibility now with Pettiford and Pegues. You can pretty much just play Pettiford wherever. You know, is he going to stick as a point guard long term because he's only 6 foot, 6 foot one? Probably. But you don't need him to do that right away. He could come in and be a true combo guard. You don't need to just pigeonhole him at point guard. So now that you have Pegues in the fold and you're getting Denver Jones back as a reliable player at that two spot, I think for Auburn in the transfer portal right now, and you've seen it in some of the guys they've gone out and targeted, you just get best fit. You just get your best fit in terms of, here are the three guards we have on the team. I don't think you need a superstar because Denver Jones and JP Pegues are going to try to get theirs. I mean, they are going to be high-level SEC players. And Tahad Pettiford's a five-star. So like, you have really good guards. You probably don't need to go out and get a superstar type player, someone with a Katie Johnson-esque role who's going to come off the bench. He's going to contribute in his own way and be a good role player for you. I think that maybe could be where they fall at the moment. But I do think it is pretty much a guarantee right now that they are going to go get a transfer power forward. You definitely don't want to scare off Chaney Johnson. You know, you want this to be his role next season, replacing Jalen Williams, because he certainly earned that down the stretch last year. But you do need somebody to compliment him, because you don't have, I've kind of gone this whole podcast here so far not discussing the possibility of Jani Broome playing the four spot. That's something that has been mentioned by some people. I think Auburn can do it in spurts. They can do it in lineups. I don't think it's going to be a full plan, a full rotation plan for this team next year. Jani is a center. He's trained as a center. He's going to be a center in the pros, maybe not long term, but that's what he projected as, and that's what he has trained as, and that's what he's been for the past several seasons. And so I just don't see him playing the four spot long term, but you never know. Anything could happen. You do have that flexibility. Him and Dylan Cardwell played together a little bit last season, but you've looked at the guys that Auburn has gone after in the portal. They've been in contact with RJ Godfrey, a Clemson power forward. Jacoby Coles is a TCU power forward. And so, you know, 6'8", 6'7", you know, kind of 230, 240, really kind of in a similar mold to a guy like Chaney Johnson. They just want a complementing player there at the four spot. moving into next season. But like I said, Jahni Broome changes everything. It puts you in a position where, you know, we have a comment here on Facebook already that just said 30 wins, question mark. Like I said, this solidifies you now, I think, as a preseason top 10 team, top five potentially. At the end of the day, though, I mean, anything can happen, and this will obviously be a team that has to come together once again and play at a high level again. But this was a team that their strength was their depth. That's how they got to 27 wins. That's how they won an SEC tournament championship. Their strength was the way they played together, and now you're bringing back such a large core of that team. You can only assume at the moment that they're going to be able to improve upon those things. An improvement for Jahni Broome looks like being one of the best players in the country because of how much he improved already last season. And so that's why I don't think it's far-fetched to say he's probably, at the moment, your SEC preseason player of the year if we're looking that far forward. So massive, massive news here on this Wednesday. Want to just get out a quick reaction show for you guys. Jahni Broome will be back as the undoubted centerpiece of this Auburn basketball team in the 2024-25 season. I am Nathan King. Thank you guys so much for joining us on the podcast. We'll talk to y'all later.